Today on Grey's Anatomy, we talk about broken legs, broken relationships, and Mommy Dearest comes back to town. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's after show for Grey's Anatomy.
Welcome.
Yes, we are here. We're very excited. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. Joining me, I have...
Hi, I'm back.
You're back.
Tara's back.
I'm Tara Johnson. I'm happy to be back. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TJ Wagging Her Tail.
And I am Jay Howard. You can find me on all things social media, JF Howard.
Yes, welcome back, Tara. And you can follow me on Twitter at Serafini TV. So the episode, When It Hurts So Bad.
When It Hurts So
Bad. There was a lot of hurting in this.
It was a painful, it was a good episode, but it was a painful episode.
Painful to watch, painful to hear, painful. No, a lot of pain going on.
There's a
around.
Lot of pain
it hurts
going on.
So bad. Mm-hmm. So real quick, what were your thoughts, Tara? Let's start with you.
You know what? I will just say, for all the big people out there, this episode was just strictly unfair.
You said all the big people?
All the big people out there, people out there. Like, this episode was just really unfair to me. And then it was a lot of breakups, which I did not see coming.
Yeah.
A couple of them I called, a couple I did not. So it was full of surprises.
Surprises? Seriously, I did not think that they were going to be... It kind of came out of nowhere, I feel like. I feel like all the relationships are kind of like plugging along at a good pace. And then at least two of them ended... You could make an argument that multiple ended, even more than two ended this episode. It kind of came out of nowhere, but it was good.
Yeah, it was good.
It's very interesting. We'll definitely get into it, but let's start with the patient case first. We have patient Ashley Hughes and her boyfriend Chris. Big guy, so you mix big and small together, it actually really doesn't work.
It's beautiful. I so
it's
disagree.
Beautiful.
You're defending
painful.
It. You got like a vendetta.
Painful in this episode.
What? It was painful in this episode. I felt really bad for her. Like when they were describing it, it was hilarious.
Her legs came out of her sockets.
Oh my gosh.
Does that happen? Is that a real thing?
Yes, that is a real thing.
You sound like you're talking from experience.
Being a small person, it's a real thing.
Oh, so, okay, Marissa, have you ever dated someone who's like much larger, taller?
Taller than me, yes.
Okay.
Yes. But not because, yes, I am
but
Asian
your
as
your legs
well.
Have never come out of your sockets.
Not that way,
okay,
no.
Okay, good. Make
not
sure.
Not during sex,
good.
No.
Good.
All right. So let's just keep that
let's
out
just
there.
Let's put that out there.
Yes.
I was just surprised. I mean, it was painful. I did like this because I like, of all the surgeons, don't get me wrong, I love the surgeon, all that kind of good stuff. I like it when Callie does her thing. The pulling the bones, the popping things back in place.
Ooh.
I like when Callie does that. Like, that just seems to be her sweet spot.
I would have chosen the surgery. Forget that. I'm not going to let you pop my legs back in place. Forget that. Put me under.
But this girl was like,
not
I
yet.
Climb Mount Everest and I take on a challenge.
That
and
was so awkward.
Yeah.
It just seemed to be her. So I like Callie in this. And when she popped both of her legs back in place, I was like, what just happened?
What? It was so painful to watch and listen to.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Jay, you and I covered the episode where Meredith's jaw had to be popped. Mm-hmm. And they popped that open. That was so painful to listen to. And I think that was the equivalent of this having two... leg sockets go back in at the same time, and just like her screams of anguish afterwards. Oh,
but
painful. It hurts so bad just to listen to.
But isn't love worth it? I mean, she said he was a gentleman. He seemed to be a really nice dude. He seemed to be a really nice guy. Cared for her. He hung around. Wanted to make sure she was okay. He thought he killed her.
Really
he
romantic.
To make, it was really, ro-
really
I thought
romantic.
It was really romantic.
It was cute.
It was.
Very
it
cute.
Really was. And only because of the fact that he was. I don't know, 2 feet taller than her and maybe had 150 to 175 pounds on her or something. That was the only thing that stood in between love. I say love is worth the pain.
But apparently it wasn't because she dumped him in the end.
Yeah,
so,
she did.
Them dang writers.
Your theory doesn't hurt a whole lot of water, but
yeah.
That's all right.
But unfortunately, I mean, yeah, we kind of skipped the middle part there. But during that, so Callie wanted to be an ex-bud. Expedite this, be like, hey, I can save you a lot of time. Let's not do surgery, which unfortunately... really didn't work out in the end because during the whole scanning, her leg goes gray, which is not a good sign,
right. Never
obviously.
Never a good sign. Never a good
sign. But an OR. And then she suffered from a massive pulmonary embolism. They had to do a cath embolectomy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
Yep.
Yeah. Even that. I hate those. Sounds painful.
But I would have chosen the surgery myself. I mean, I would not have chosen the surgery. I would have been like, pop those jokers back in. Let's keep it moving.
I would have said, pop them back in, not at the same time. If you can do it once, you can do it again. Oh, and that was Callie's reasoning. Why do it at the same time? It's like, we don't have to put her through it twice.
Right, twice.
Be like, I would have taken the time to pop one in properly and then pop the other one.
I would have said, give me the juice. Put me under. I'm not dealing with this crap.
Yeah. Mm. I would have, like, popped those jokers.
Interesting how the man says that and the woman says
that. Forget that.
Interesting.
Forget that. Knock me out.
Just pointing that out. All right, cool. We're all kind of split there, mm-hmm. but interesting.
So,
yeah.
Callie and Penny.
Mm. So, little Sophia.
Very cute.
Back up, rewind. At the very beginning of the episode,
yes.
Penny says, I love you. Yes. Remember?
Yes.
Which is, she's a very awkward character.
Callie says, thank you.
Right.
So what do you think that means with Callie? Do you think she fully loves Penny in return? She reciprocates that same feeling?
I actually, and I know everyone out there will correct me if I'm wrong, but given the last couple episodes, I thought they had broken up or like cooled off for a while because you hadn't really seen them.
Yeah.
They hadn't really talked or interacted that much. So when they were back in the bed and she goes for the I love you, I was completely thrown. I just did not think their relationship was there. I still don't know how I feel about their relationship. I agree, Penny is not as awkward as Amelia, but very awkward. I don't kind of know her story yet. So it kind of threw me that they were even there. So I just assumed Callie was going to be like, what are you talking about? We just got back together. This is way too soon.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah. Jay, what do you think?
I would actually very much agree with that. Yeah, it's the I love you kind of came out of nowhere. And she got the thank you. The thank you.
That's the worst.
Have you ever thrown out the thank you?
No, I think I would just stay silent before I throw out the thank you. I think the thank you is like, in the South, as we say, bless her heart.
Bless her heart. It's like, I'd be like, oh.
See, that's bad too.
But so basically, that freaks Callie out, and it basically sets the tone for the rest of the episode in the context of their relationship.
Yes. And I see, like, throughout, because you see, Callie's not really fully there on these love emotional scale
right
with Penny, mm-hmm. and because we see the daughter Sophia, she, you know, she has a slight head trauma and she gets checked in, and Penny's the one who has to take care of her. But and I even wrote a question in my notes while watching this, like, do you think Callie will be upset that she didn't call Penny, or sorry, the other way,
you
that
are
Penny
so
didn't,
smart
yeah that I put, will Taurus be mad that Penny didn't tell her about her daughter? And then sure enough, that question gets asked later on. Right. It's like, why didn't you page me? Why didn't you page Meredith? Why didn't you page Corette or Bailey? Like, all these other people that are technically above Penny.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think that thinks of, like, why do you think Callie thinks that way, that she didn't want Penny to take care of her?
Well, I mean, I don't believe, and I'll just fast forward and say that when Callie came around and said, after she and Bailey had their conversation and was just like, you know, Penny's the person I want standing next to me when I'm at the World Cup, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't buy it. It feels really rushed to me, the whole kind of, I love you as much kind of thing. But I do understand her, as she being a parent, being very afraid of her meeting Penny and not being ready, or rather, thinking Sophia's not ready. And I've been in that situation, dating someone who has children, and you're kind of like trying to figure out what's going on, why haven't you met their kids kind of thing. And it's really, as a parent, you're kind of like, what do you do? Well, you're gonna ask your kid and say, are you ready to meet somebody I'm dating, without like having the conversation.
Do you approve of this person that you're seeing more often? You know, like in my life, do you approve of them?
Right, but I think, But my thing with Callie is, I think she freaked out a little bit too much. It'd be different, I think, if Penny introduced herself to Sophia as, hi,
I'm your mom's
girlfriend,
right?
Yeah.
Penny.
We said, I love you this morning.
Right, or I said it and your mom said thank you. Like, right. she didn't say any of that stuff. She's, hi, I'm Dr. Blake, and I'll be, you know, it was harmless. Sophia knew, like, she didn't know anything at the end of the episode. She didn't even know her name.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Callie took it a little too far. But as a parent, maybe, I guess that's what you do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, yeah, at the end of the day, this whole episode, and I'm sure I'm probably going to say this multiple times in this episode we're talking about right here, is every character is trying to define their relationship as far as what it means in their life and how it relates to their life, how it relates to what's going on in their life. And so I think that's what is the real, like, Callie gets thrown off guard because she thinks she understands the relationship that she has with Penny. And then Penny obviously accelerates that. And so it, even in this kind of really not that important of a gesture where Penny takes care of a minor head injury, like, it gets totally redefined in Callie's mind of, oh my gosh, she's trying to, like, mother my child, right. Now, you right. know? And it's because everyone in this, I think that's what this episode's about, is trying to define where these relationships fit in these characters' lives.
Yeah. You know? I completely agree with that, too. What do you think of Bailey talking to Callie? It's like, who's the person that you want cheering beside you? Like, what do you think of this metaphor?
I thought it was great. I mean, like, I really thought it was fantastic. And, of course, who else is going to give that kind of speech but Bailey?
But Bailey.
I mean, you know, her position has changed so much. And we used to see her do that a lot more when Meredith and Meredith's class were, like, you know, just coming in. So, you know, that's what she did every week almost. I was like, when you watch the, you know, Grey's Anatomy, the first couple of seasons, it was like, and Bailey's speech. It was like, yep. You know, like every single, and Bailey's speech.
Bailey's words of wisdom.
Exactly. But now we're getting that less and less, and it's on a different type of wavelength. So for her to relate, not just as a doctor, but as, like, a mom to mom, that was really interesting and such a great analogy. Yeah.
She's good. Her character's good at that kind of, she does it kind of in a harsh way, but putting things in larger perspective. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's one of those characters who's kind of there as a compass, you know, who kind of helps point the other characters in the right direction. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
She has softened over the years, because when they first got started,
yeah,
it was a different, but it was also a different relationship.
I think the characters need her brashness, though, because they're also, a lot of them are really self-absorbed and they live, and of course it's a drama. It's a drama, right, TV show, yeah. Of course, you know. So, but they're so self-absorbed, and they live kind of such an extreme life with these extreme decisions that they need a loud persona to speak the truth or to speak the, you know.
I like that.
Speak some reason into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talked about Bailey changing a little bit. Like, from the first season, like, she wasn't a mother, so she had a whole different persona to her.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And she was in a position where she still had to work twice as hard just to gain respect from others. Mm-hmm. And, like, now she's in a way higher position of authority, and she is a mother. There's so many more qualities to her now,
right,
than we had of her in the first. So, and I think that just goes with all the characters in general, too.
Right.
So many have changed and evolved and grown up, and I think that's so great about Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just, like, the journey that we're taking on with these characters, which is always fun to watch.
She's mm-hmm. married to a hot surgeon.
Don't
forget that.
Oh, Warren.
I mean, I'm sorry. Don't forget that. Warren. Gotta add that. Gotta add that.
There you go. All right. So, speaking of some relationships and whatnot, we got a lot of breakups this episode. Let's start with Maggie. Maggie and DeLuca, they're still sleeping around, but they're having a hard time finding time to be with each other, and which is ironic because when people didn't know about them, they kept seeing each other mm-hmm. easily, and now everyone knows them and they can hardly see each other.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of them at the beginning of the episode? Still,
since they got together, I have not been. I've said their relationship is out of convenience.
Yep.
And
same here.
I've said it just doesn't. There doesn't seem to be a lot of roots in their relationship, which is fine. They're both. I mean, even just. He's a young character in the show, so there's not a, you know, he came in the season, right?
Yeah.
His first season.
I think it was actually the end of,
I guess they all came. I want to say
it was like the end of the final last season.
Yeah,
like
they finally, right. They all last, came last. In.
Right. Okay, so yeah, so he hasn't been here a long time anyway. So there's not been a lot of opportunity for them to make roots for him. And so yeah, it seems like their relationship is really born out of convenience. And the second it gets inconvenient for either of them, you know, it's over. The second it gets hard, it's kind of like, well, all right, there's not a lot of roots here. We're done.
I I've been shaking my head. For everyone who's like listening via podcast, I'm just saying I've been shaking my head. And I guess when it comes to the two of them, I've been shaking my head since they first like dated each other and mm-hmm. started hooking up. I just never sensed it, got it. I didn't feel any chemistry. It never mm-hmm. made any sense to me.
Yeah.
I never saw it going anywhere. I
think all three of us were.
Yeah. I mean, I think what you're saying, DeLuca is so new. Maggie's character is so new, and she's coming on to be Meredith's yet, you know, newly discovered sister. We never really fleshed that out. It just never meshed to me.
So my question for the both of you is this, is because I think we've all sensed that. So my question is this. Do you feel that way based on the purposeful writing? Do you feel like the characters were written that way? Do you feel like it's because of poor writing, or do you feel like it's because of the performances? Are we supposed to feel that way?
I don't think it's for the performances. I think it was just, we keep saying it, relationship of convenience, but it's not a testament to the actors either. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just more so that they paired these two up because Maggie didn't have someone.
Right.
So might as well give her someone to have a relationship with. But the problem is with this relationship, you can, from the get-go, you know it would go nothing past physical.
Nothing past. And because, the physical was painful to watch sometimes,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, because even they were physically awkward with each other. But the problem is that we've had so many episodes with these two together that we could have had this time to build an emotional relationship, and we haven't.
And they Nothing. Didn't do that. That's a good point.
Nothing. Yeah.
So it feels almost purposeful.
If there was something deeper within, we would have seen it by now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we haven't.
And I think DeLuca, do you remember everyone, when DeLuca came on, or when it was even the hint of DeLuca's character coming, everyone was saying, is this the new Derek? Is this the new Derek?
Right.
And when they brought him on, they took his character in a completely different direction. I don't know if the writers had that pre-planned or if it just the chemistry didn't work or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of feel like you were saying, it was like there was just nothing to do with these two characters. What are we kind of going to do with them?
And
let's throw them together.
They might have had that. Unfortunately, DeLuca's character might have already had that pre-existing stigma mm-hmm. because we bring in a new man that kind of has the same physical characteristics as Derek. Let's not make him a love interest for Meredith.
Right.
Let's make him a love interest for Maggie.
Because we talked about that. We all were like, okay, I guess it looks like he might be the replacement. He might be the new dude.
Because, I mean, who knows? The producers or the writers might have wanted a immediate love interest for mm-hmm. Meredith, and they're like, all right, the fans don't want it, so let's change
figure
it
out
up.
Something to do with it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And this is, and everyone correct me if I'm wrong, but I find it interesting that this relationship is the first type of relationship where Maggie's position of power is higher than the guys. I mean, of course, we have Meredith and Derek, and we had Joe and Alex, and you know, we have all these different relationships between different people at different levels, but this is the only one where the woman has a higher level of power than, you know, the guy did. And you could just tell over the last couple episodes it was just starting to eat at DeLuca.
Yeah,
you know, like, so they've like, there's been a prelude to this whole breakup for quite some time. So I just find it interesting that there's a lot of female male, you know, a lot of relationships, but the one where the power, the structure of power is reversed is the one that didn't work out.
Although you do have Bailey.
I guess
that's kind of different.
That's a little bit, but yeah. I mean, but even still with that, I was afraid over the last couple episodes that was starting to wear at Warren too. Because there was a couple of episodes where I was like, please don't let this become an issue between the two of them. I like that couple.
Yeah. And thank you, everyone who's joining the live chat. We are watching this episode. M. Christine Nieves, sorry if I butchered that. Mm-hmm. She says the last two episodes of last year was when DeLuca showed up. So, yes.
Thank you.
I was right. Thank you.
And thank you.
Ariadne, I hope I said your name right. I apologize if not. Says, DeLuca makes me mad. I was with Maggie. She didn't even want to go public. He's like a teenager inside a 20-something-year-old man. I think that, to me, that's totally accurate. Yes,
yeah.
He's super immature.
Yeah.
Super immature.
Yeah. He has a lot of growing up to do.
There's a lot. And maybe he thought in the beginning hooking up with and attending was going to be great because it was going to get him, you know, in places. Because remember that when all of them came in, they were really, like, eager and hungry and trying to figure things out. And maybe mm-hmm. he thought hooking up with an attendant was going to take him places, but clearly it's taken him places he did not want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's bad when the other interns are pointing it out, like, hey, you're getting special treatment.
Yeah.
And then he's not even realizing it.
Right.
It's like, mm-hmm. no. Mm-hmm. But like, no, dude, you are.
Yeah, you really are.
All right. So Maggie calls it off with him, be like, nah, sorry.
Brushing me off. I'm the brusher.
Not an issue anymore, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that kind of leads us to Amelia and Owen. Because we saw the last time Owen got stupidly drunk. I shouldn't say stupid.
No, but you like, can, I would say stupidly, he got stupidly drunk.
He got really drunk.
Had 50-11 beers around him.
He's not an addict. He just got really, really drunk.
Yeah.
And so Amelia shows up and sees him like that and walks out. And apparently they have, she's been avoiding him.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, so what do you think of Amelia and Owen in this episode? Did you see this coming from Amelia's side and her perspective?
I'm not thrown by it because, let me, okay, I will say, because I'm really sensitive on this given the fact that Amelia is a recovering addict. Mm-hmm. I totally get that. I have recovering addicts in my family, totally get that. So I understand that, like, when you are recovering, you cannot... You have to put yourself first. But there were a couple instances in this episode where I kept saying, oh my gosh, Amelia, everything seriously is not about you.
Mm.
One was when Meredith freaked out and finally came out of her room. Instantly, Amelia said, I was just sleeping on the couch. I'll pick up my stuff and leave. And I was like...
I bet you're wondering what I'm doing here.
Right. Like, it's not about you.
That's actually very true. She's a very narcissistic character, isn't she?
Yes. It's like,
I don't really realize that.
Everything is about her. And then even with the Owen thing, I mean, last week I wasn't here and I saw it. I understand you walked into a situation where all this stuff is going on. You can't be around it. But I kept waiting for her to ask Owen, and even this episode, like, what happened? You know, now they've removed themselves from it. Like, what happened to you? Again, it just... And maybe it's where she is in her recovery. I don't know. But everything is about her. So given where she is, I was not surprised by it. I was disappointed because I think Owen's good for her. I think Owen's too good for her. Sorry about that. But I wasn't surprised that she pulled it because everything is about Amelia.
Okay. Jay, do you agree with
that? It kind of came... This is kind of what I said at the beginning. Both of the breakups kind of came out of nowhere for me. Because, you know, yeah, last episode she walked into a weird situation where he was hammered. That sucks. It's not right. But to, I don't know, to take it to totally in the relationship, they didn't even really get to talk. Because they spent the whole episode with him trying to page her or whatever, yeah. Waiting to hear from her. And, you know, it just kind of seems like he had a bad night, and then all of a sudden she's just like, I'm done with it. I'm over. And so it felt like it kind of came out of nowhere for me. But I think what you said is kind of hits the nail on the head, is a lot of it's based on her narcissism, of where she interprets everything out of, like, well, how does this affect me? How does this, you know?
I mean, I definitely see that perspective, but I don't want to say it's narcissism. It's more so she's just trying to protect herself.
And I totally get that.
And you got to remember, like, she's been on her own for a long time, mm-hmm. and it's her own internal physical struggles that she's dealing with. So, like, really, at the end of the day, it is about her, because
mm-hmm.
she's the one taking care of herself,
right.
not others.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we think of Owen and his sincere apology to her?
Yeah, the thing, and I will say the overall situation, and I get Amelia has to protect herself. I guess the thing that really turned me off with this breakup was when Owen was really sincere in his apology, and what she said is, I appreciate that, but you're just not in this with me. And that just isn't who Owen is.
I can't count on it.
Count
on myself. Not in this with me. Can't do this with you.
Right. And
you're saying that's what Amelia said about him is not accurate.
That's what Amelia said about Owen.
And you're saying that's inaccurate.
I've never gotten that from Owen's character since the first day he came on this show. He's always been like the real loyal person who always puts other people in front of him. And when you said in the beginning he stupidly got drunk, I do think he made a mistake and got drunk, but... I think that was a little too harsh for Owen.
I wonder,
really sincere.
And I wonder how this correlates to Owen's past with his sister and the storyline of him basically giving up on his sister.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to come back, yeah.
And that's a good point that you bring up, because Sav in the live chat says, Owen still hasn't opened up to Amelia about Riggs.
True.
What has he told her? Has he told her anything about it?
No,
he's
only revealed that information to...
So she doesn't even know. I'm trying to remember what he's...
He did say in this episode, Riggs said something to me that set me off. And then by that time, she started with the...
Yeah.
That's all she really knows.
Even the fact that Owen still hasn't opened up about that part of his life to Amelia still shows that there are boundaries between them.
There's
still a disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
Did he even... I don't think... I mean, of course, this is new and this is in the storyline, but this is the first we've ever heard of Owen even having a sister, and he's gone through Christina and Teddy. And, you know, like,
yeah,
he's been
this
around...
Shows him on for like a decade.
For a while, and this is the first we've ever heard from him. So, like, this is something...
It's deep-seated.
Really deep-seated and buried.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it might not just be all, I think, you know, it's two to tango for both of these, because Amelia, she's trying. And I will give her that, because she knows this point in her life, she's so sober and clean right now that she can't have any outside forces jeopardizing that. And if Owen is, for some reason, anyone that could, even though he had a moment of lapse, I understand. She's like, if you're dangerous to me in any possible way, no, I can't have that.
Yeah.
So Scanoglio, hope I said your name right, in the live chat says, Owen has issues and will probably spiral down. So yes or no, you think this is this gonna push Owen to be a better man, or is it gonna take him further down? I agree it's gonna make him spiral down.
I'm like formulating a prediction with Owen.
So you gotta save that. You can save it if you
need to. I'll answer that for later. That's a great question.
Owen is a complicated fella.
He is. All right, so that's another issue not to deal with anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But let's talk about Meredith and her issues. She's with Thorpe at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They, third date, Thorpe's lucky number, and then sure enough, they sleep together. But cut to yelling in the morning, something happened, and we still didn't figure out what exactly it was that really set it up. But like at the end, we got an explanation.
Can I just say, as a man, like, I was so pissed for him while she was yelling at him. Everyone's mad at him. He's like, I didn't freaking do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm.
I think back to, like, my high school days, you know?
He's having a flashback.
Like, all these girls are mad at him. Like, I didn't do anything. But they just hype each other up. I feel for you, Will.
Mm-hmm. You know you did something with those eyes.
I probably did. I'm married now, though, so I'm good. I'm not having those problems anymore.
Well,
but
this sends Meredith into a cleaning frenzy.
Oh, my gosh.
Cleaning that whole house. And Amelia and Maggie are just there being like, all right, yeah, let's put together this cleaner.
Yeah,
good friends.
Where's that wood polish?
Okay, what do we think of and Meredith during this? Like, she's going crazy cleaning. Have we ever seen her in this kind of state?
No, but I think that's why I loved it so much. I'm not saying I loved her freaking out, but I remember the beginning of the season, and we talked about it a lot here, saying, oh my gosh, it just seems like Meredith got over her husband passing away. Like, you know, people who were like, it's been 2 years. Like, when is she going to mourn? Like, people were asking for it. I even asked for it. So at least it's been 2 years, but this is the first time she got anywhere close to being with someone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he is hot. And if you like squint and turn your head to the right, he does look like Derek a little bit. So like, you know, I can understand and appreciate her freaking out. I actually appreciated this, because if she would have just jumped out of the bed, I would have been like, wait a minute, like, come on.
Oh, Scanoglio says, thought Meredith was channeling Ellis. A little OCD there.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Interesting.
Interesting. I appreciated it only because I thought it was real. I thought it was very real, a very real reaction.
Just trying not to deal with...
Or just freaking out.
Yeah,
just
like
freaking out,
trying to find something to figure out how to like take away the insanity that she's feeling in that moment.
Or yeah, something to occupy your time or in your thoughts, because I know like if you don't want to think about something or like sad or unpleasant and whatnot, you try to do something that will literally just take your mind off of
it. That's it.
And sure enough, it was cleaning. Mm-hmm. They got the whole house clean.
She can come on over.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, maybe she can get upset like that again and come over to my condo.
My house, because
like,
I need some help.
Perfect.
There you go.
Thank
so
you.
It gets to the point where she actually finds the blanket of Derek's. And then she started laughing/crying.
Like a freaking crazy person. That was kind of creepy to me.
I was so scared that she was going to toss the blanket in the fire.
Oh.
I really thought she was going to toss
fire.
The blanket.
Snap, that would have been dirty.
And just to kind of, like this move of, I got to move on type of thing. I really thought, and I was so happy when she didn't do that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I thought when the fire, he was like, it's 70 degrees outside. Why'd you start a fire? I was like, this blanket is gone. Thank goodness. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness.
Did you enjoy that, Jay? This moment of her realization of Derek's possession?
Yeah, I more particularly enjoyed like Karev being there. I think their relationship is really like even flourishing more than it has previously. And I thought it was cool just to kind of see their friendship at that place, even him showing up like whatever. He's like, "Where is he? Like, I'm gonna beat him up," or whatever he's saying. Okay, I don't know what he's saying, but
kill him.
That's great.
And it was a cool moment for them to sit by the fire and, you know, her to tell the story of what this blanket means, you know, how this blanket has impacted her or whatever.
So do you think this moment really closes the book on Derek and Meredith? Like, that literally caps them off?
No,
maybe some conclusion.
I don't think so. I don't think that's real life when you marry to someone and they pass away or something happens. I don't. Maybe we won't see as many flashbacks, or maybe this is the cap on this issue, and she can move on or decide not to move on or whatever. But I don't think this is the end of her love for Derek or mine.
Oh no. But like, like a physical.
Maybe he'll come back.
Okay, this is the last thing that can remind me of Derek right now that maybe I can move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think in the context of the show, I think this kind of, it feels like it kind of capped it off. It feels like that little mini moment was like mourning for her, kind of. So maybe it's fun, finished.
I will say I like the fact of Alex coming to the rescue in this episode and even last week's episode. You know, the way that Maggie and Amelia interact with Meredith is very different than how Alex comes in, and he's like, you know, last week he was like, you know, quit, you know, don't push her. Like, if you push her, she's not going to do it, kind of thing. And even this, and he came in, he was like, "I'm going to beat the guy up." And then he was like, "Mayor, what's the problem?" Like, he just approaches her differently,
right.
And she responds to it. And she doesn't always respond to the other two. So I like when Alex steps in the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it comes from just a place of, like, genuine friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Andrea in the live chat said that she thought she was having Alzheimer's because she carries the Alzheimer's gene.
Oh, my gosh, that's good.
Interesting.
That is good.
But it could possibly be a little like.
And I mean, I get that Meredith carries the gene, yes, but she is still in the age where it's a little too early to indicate if she's suffering from Alzheimer's.
True, but that is just delicious what she just said. That was like really good.
So do you think that's like a foreshadowing of other erratic behavior that we might see of Meredith?
I'm trying to think if recently we've seen any like really erratic behavior like that.
I don't think we have.
100%.
I hope not. I hope this is not that, only because she's a single mom now with three kids.
Yeah.
That would be just,
she can't lose it.
Too sad for me, but that is good, girl.
We're like probably reading into it too much, but it's interesting to think about.
That is good. It's good to read into and get good to go deep.
Yep.
All right, so of course, last but not least, of April and Jackson.
Oh.
And Mommy Catherine.
Oh.
It's like,
that was a pen drop.
Yeah, pen
that
drop.
That was two pen
drops. Did you drop yours too?
Walk that was away.
Two. We both did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Snap.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so Catherine Avery comes back into the hospital.
That doc on Debbie Allen. I tell you what.
I mean, she's amazing, first of all.
Amazing.
Yeah, she's good.
And Jackson, of course, doesn't want his mother to talk to April. Coming from a mother's perspective, like, do not engage. Do not engage.
He was really stern with her. Like, I was like, whoa. She is going to, like, you're going to catch it. You're going to catch it.
He's a pretty stern dude sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, dude, you need to take a chill pill, man. You say things seriously all the time.
Yeah. But sometimes, you know, Catherine has done things on her own. You're like, no, Catherine, you went a little too far.
No doubt. No doubt.
But Catherine, having the audacity to go up to April and being actually somewhat sincere, yet...
No, she...
That wasn't sincere.
She was sly.
She was sly.
She was looking for something.
Really perfect word for that. So what do you think of her conversation with April during this? And how sly/nurturing she was?
I'll admit, she had me. She had me in the beginning. I was like, you know what? When parents, you know, sniff the fact they're about to become grandparents, they just become different people. And I was like, she's caught the grandma gene and she's all about the baby. I did.
That's...
But then when she sat down and she said to her, So you're telling me you knew when you signed the papers that you were pregnant? Like, you found out that morning, and April was like, that was such a hard day. And I think she asked the question again in a different way. Mm-hmm. I was like, this chick is scheming.
You were pregnant beforehand.
I was like, something's not right. Something's not right. Did I think she's going to go so far as like fraud and all that kind of stuff?
But she I knew something wasn't right. Yeah. She got me.
I did not see it coming either.
Democlogen Punch, that's a crazy name, said that the end of the episode was the real highlight. That was too much. That's what I'm saying. That's it. I was like, oh, it's just like, it's so sweet. Maybe she's going to go to Jackson. And in my mind, I'm like, she can go to Jackson. She's gonna be like, listen, sweetie, she's pregnant. You guys can make this work.
Right.
They're going to come back together. I'm like, yeah, this is going to be awesome. And then she gets this little devious smile, like a curl smile on the side of her lip. We can get it for fraud or whatever she's talking about.
Let's go after April, legally committed for fraud. And I don't, I mean, I know nothing about being a lawyer, but Tara, you do.
Yeah. So. I thought about that in context of child custody, that type of thing, just to simply say that, you committed fraud. You knew it about a particular time, and it wasn't, and go against her character to say, you know, it's all about the best interest of the child. Mm-hmm. Your character is one of being devious and, you know, undermining because you did X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. And now, okay, so now that, I mean, you gotta remember, Catherine's made of money.
Oh.
She's in highest position of authority there. She owns that hospital. That's like, so anyone, everyone's going to listen to her. If she says jump, you say, how freaking high?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
So if it comes from Catherine's mouth, be like, oh, hey, we're going after April for fraud, trying to probably get the custody of that baby for Jackson. Oh my goodness. So what do you think, now knowing this fact, that's going to do to Jackson and April?
I think I was surprised that Catherine thought Jackson would be so on board with it. It was like she didn't drop, like she didn't hesitate. She was like, I'm telling him this, and Jackson's going to be like, yeah, mom.
But he didn't seem that down with it.
No.
At all.
He was stunned.
Did you think that? I put, okay.
You thought he was down for it?
You thought he was down with it?
I literally put in my notes, his face seemed like he was interested.
Really?
Up for it.
Oh, I took it.
He didn't seem like upset, but he was, I think he was a stunned, mm-hmm. but he didn't seem mad about
it either.
He was
perplexed.
Either.
Yeah, this could
like,
work.
Oh, I literally put that. His face seemed like he
I
was
disagree.
Interested.
He seemed pissed to me.
Really?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He seemed almost frightened to me to go, I knew this chick was crazy. My mom was like, but she's even, mm-hmm. she will take it even further than I thought she would. Like, mm-hmm. it's almost frightened to know that someone has that in them and you never thought of it that way. He was like, oh, this woman's for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Live chat said, kind of ironic that the lawyer said this was the easiest divorce they handled and now all this is happening.
Yeah.
Because it's about to get messy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
No divorce is easy.
That's a really good point.
And I think that maybe they set that up, be like, uh-uh, it's mm-hmm. not as easy as you think.
Right. But if this brings Debbie Allen back more often, I'm all for it.
So you're cool with whatever happens, as long as you're
No, you know what it is? It's just
your character gets to come back.
No, well, I mean, maybe.
Whatever.
No, not at all. But I think it's just going to add something interesting to it, and it's going to, whereas Jackson, before when he was married to April, was very stern in, this is the woman who I want to be with, mom, either get with it or get off.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think, given how everything happened with April, he actually may be pitted, because I think a part of him will sympathize with April, but a part of him will actually empathize or like go with his mom, only because of the position he's been put in and because of the things that April said to him. I mean, she slammed the door in his face, was like, this is my body, this is, I decide what happens. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of been felt shut out. You know, I think he's going to have to decide what side he's going to be on. And he may actually go back and forth, given whatever happens with he and April. She better behave.
Oh,
April better be nice.
What do you think this will do to April? Like, how she's going to react to this?
Oh, man.
It's not going to be pretty. Not,
just
not
like, pretty. Yeah. Like ugly sobbing. Like, it's going to be, she's going to get so emotional and crazy. I mean, it's
going to be a throw down.
And real quick, are they wanting custody for the child?
I mean, I don't know yet. I mean, I'm just thinking ahead.
I mean,
with
why go through all this?
Because she doesn't need
money. Yeah. No. Why go through all of this trouble to see that she, April, committed quote unquote fraud if it wasn't for custody of the child.
Yeah, because that's the only thing I can think of. It's not as if they're still married, and so, you know, fraud in certain states can be grounds for divorce.
For all the stress.
So I'm like, there's nothing else between them now but custody of the baby, and it has the word fraud. I was like, I don't know what else it could possibly be.
It has to be. Well, maybe we'll find out.
Maybe we will find out. So thank you, everyone who's been listening and joining in on the live chat and on Twitter. You guys are awesome. So maybe we'll do some quick shout outs. So for Twitter, thank you to Jacqueline at Loves to Sail and Neba Khan at Khan underscore Neba. Thank you, everyone who, you know, tweeted and whatnot. They said, these two, sorry, I'm like reading all these. This is fantastic. Neva kind of says, you know, I did feel bad because he, DeLuca was sweet and whatnot, but, or like, oh, not DeLuca, sorry, that the big guy with Chris and Ashley, Chris. That, like, that was a sweet relationship, but
big
unfortunately,
big people need love too. Hashtag big people need love too.
And
let's get
that
trending.
Neva also says Avery pissed her off. So, interesting. So, thank you, everyone, in the live chat. And, you know, let us know what you think of the show, of the after show. And, you know, we do take heart of everything that you guys say. And overall, we do love the show. So, it's always fun to listen and watch every single week.
And hit us up on YouTube. I will promise I will read and respond to comments this week.
There you go.
Love it.
All right. So, anything else about this episode that we may or may not have missed?
I think that.
Oh, the only thing I can say is I love the fact that Arizona like put her foot down and was like, "Don't get me involved in the middle of your crap. I'm involved in enough crap. I'm feeling bad. Everybody's coming down on me because I was in the middle of other crap. Get me out of your crap.
This show would be over if all the characters just did that.
I guess it would just be a hospital.
Just be certain
surgeries.
It
wouldn't be called drama,
right?
And also, we see April and Arizona are still not on the talking levels, but Meredith and Amelia are, to the point where Amelia can move back into her room.
We'll see how long that lasts.
You know
what I'm saying? You never know with the two of them.
The overlying theme in these past episodes, like, it takes time. Mm-hmm. You can't force her to forgive you. She has to do it on her own. And now it's to the point where, like, Meredith can accept Amelia back into her life, back into her house, have a civil relationship in a way, a civil friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's getting better. It's taking time, you guys.
See how long it lasts.
And we'll see how long it takes April in Arizona to be on talking terms.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That'll be a while.
Yes.
So thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening. In the meantime, where can everyone keep following you? Jay.
You can follow me on all things social media at JF Howard.
Yeah, I'm Tara Johnson. You can find me on TJ Wagging Her Tail and at wordswinewomen.com.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
Wine, yes.
Yeah, check us out.
You can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV. You can follow all of us here on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the social media platforms at AfterBuzzTV. Keep rating, keep commenting, and we'll see you guys next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.